Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. How are you doing today, Yvette?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Today was a very productive Monday, although the coldness and everything makes me want to sit in my bed and work from my bed. But I'm like, no, it'll put me down. I'm tired mode. So I'm like, no, I got so many things to do today. So here we are. I'm just gonna run with what I got and keep going.
Yeah, the rain definitely makes me sleepy too. Are you a nap person? Because I can't take naps in the day.
So I wasn't, but once I got anxiety, I had no other resort than to like calm my body down and have it. Like, it was just the weirdest thing because I could never nap. I was the person that was just like, the moment I got up, I was done, and I would hate it because of this. My husband would go work early and he'd like be like, okay, I'm leaving, give me a kiss goodbye. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then, whatever. But then I couldn't go to sleep, and I'm like, dude, now I can't go to sleep. But then I'm like, do I want the bonding? Do I not want the bonding? Like, I have to figure this out because I also want to sleep. So then I'm like, I just got to go to sleep earlier. But even then, it's just like the quality of sleep sometimes isn't the greatest. So if I just toss and turn and then he wakes me up, I'm just like in a bad mood in the morning. I'm just like, oh, but it's hard because if he doesn't, then I'm like, oh, he didn't today. It's like the weirdest thing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm not a napper. I can't, but because I it has to be really, really dark for me to be able to sleep, and it has to be very, very quiet. I'm a light sleeper because somebody said like, oh, we'll just buy like the blackout shades, right? And I'm like, yeah, but I can still hear noise. Like I'll hear cars, I'll hear I don't know, like any little noise is gonna wake me up, and then I can't sleep. It has to be
How
really
about
quiet.
headphones?
Oh, I never thought about that.
Like, what
Well, either
about
way,
using
I mean,
headphones?
that might work too. But no, I'm up super early, like 5, 6 a.m., and then I'm just like wide awake. I'm cold, so I'm still in bed. No, I can't take naps.
So that was me, but then I also started getting the blackout curtains because of the same reason. And I did it on my kids first. So I got them the blackout curtains, and then I kept their room dark, and I noticed that they would sleep longer. So then I was like, okay, well, then it must work. So then I did it in my room. And yeah, so as long as they keep the bathroom door closed and every like no light is coming in, I can sleep. But again, the house is, I don't know, your room is also in the back of your house or like towards the end of the house?
Yeah, it's in the back of my house. Yeah.
Oh, I can't hear anything on the back of, I don't know, maybe because I always do like white noise, or I'll leave the bathroom, what is it, the fan on, so I could
Oh,
hear
the fan on.
white, like that gives me a little bit of white noise. And then or I'll put like soundscapes on the TV, and then like on a dark screen, because if it's light, again, same thing. So I'll
You
put
know
that
what?
and go to sleep.
White. I've tried like white noise or like little sounds. None of that helps. Like it has to be silent and
Oh, silent, silent. I was gonna
yeah,
say
like
the curtain
completely
and that.
silent. Yeah, I can't have any sort of like background noise. And yeah, my room is towards the back of the house, but I can still hear things. Like I still hear the cars
Maybe
or
the
like
head.
my neighbors. You know, yeah, like maybe having some like headphones. But then I sleep on the side. I don't know, like how would I, you know, like
Maybe
I.
like the ones that go in your ear or earplugs?
Earplugs. Oh, maybe like an earplug. I don't know. Yeah, I've never tried it. I'll have to try it.
Like a
Yeah,
combo.
no, but my grandmother, my nana, would always get up like super early, right? Like 3, 4 in the morning, and she would pray. And I remember I would ask her, like, Nana, like, are you not tired? You know, like you don't. And you know, she was retired, so she didn't have to work. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have kids, so it wasn't like she had to go get up early, you know. And she'd be like, No, like I can't sleep anymore. Internal clock just wakes up, and I'm like, God, I'm getting old. Maybe that's why I can't sleep because I'm getting old.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like my parents, but my dad's always been like a sleeper. If he could sleep 24 hours, he'll sleep 24 hours. Like he loves to sleep. And my husband's the same way, but I'm just not like, I hate it because sometimes when we go to Mexico, we're on vacation mode, right? But it's like you could sleep the whole 8 hours, but then they sleep like 12, 15 hours. I'm like, dude, it's time to get up. Like the day's gone.
Yeah, no, I can't nap. I can't. I wish. Maybe I'll try. Maybe with the blackout curtains and the headphones. But then I feel like I have so many things to do, so it's
That's
like
me
I
too, but it's
yeah.
like when I'm too stressed out, or I feel like, because with anxiety, I get a lot of ear buzzing sometimes, that even like the slightest squeak or something will bug the anything out of my ear. And so I'm like, I think I'm just like so overstimulated, I need to take a nap. So I'll go take like a 5, 20 minute nap,
Yeah. Like a power
It's
nap.
not very frequent because of the same thing. I'm always like, I got so many things to do, I can't do this. But when I feel like I'm just overstimulated and too much anxiety, I'm like, I have no other route. Like I tell my husband, like, I'm sorry, you gotta take over, I can't do this.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll try like the blackout curtains or something, the headphones. Maybe that'll help. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, keep us updated. Sounds great.
Yeah. So in today's episode, we want to answer some of the most common questions from our listeners about navigating life's challenges, dealings with fear, and how motherhood adds another layer to it all. So the first question is, what's the most unexpected fear you've had to face in your life, and how did you overcome it?
So when I was normal, I don't know, I don't like to call it that. So before anxiety,
Before anxiety, yes.
yeah. So before anxiety, I didn't have like the fear of heights or flying or like all these weird, I don't know if it's because your life is at risk or you're in danger, but you're really not in danger. Like it's common things that we do, like going over a bridge or driving over something that's super high or like there's super like there's a huge slope down under you or like I don't know. Just things that I just didn't really think about before. I was just like, whatever, let's do it. And I never had the fear or like zip lining. I did that in college and I was great. And then once I got anxiety, like even driving over the Golden Gate Bridge or driving over anything, I was like, oh my God, get me through this. Or the tunnels. Like, I'm gonna get trapped in here. And I don't know if it was because like after anxiety, the first panic attack I ever had, I literally thought my body was dying and then I was like, oh, I'm dying. My kids are, what am I gonna do with my kids? Like, who's gonna raise them for the rest of their lives? Like, I don't know. My body just went in shock and worst case scenario. And I was so scared out of my life. And then when I would go to sleep, I was feeling like I was going to fall in a deep hole and just disappear and die. And I would tell my husband, like, can you hold me at night? Can you touch me so I can feel like somebody's actually there? Like, I'm not dying. Because I would try to, like, I would take so many meds and I would take melatonin, or I don't remember what the doctor told me to take, some kind of hard drug to put me to bed. And I was like, I'm not taking that. That's like steroids, like hardcore medicine to put you to bed. And I'm like, I cannot do that. I'm a mother. If I go to sleep and I feel like that makes my anxiety go worse, I'm like, worst case scenario all the time. And I hate it. I am not the sole provider because I have a partner and I have parents and family that always helps me, but I'm like, nobody knows how to do it how I do. And it's not that they can't. After anxiety, that's been one of my biggest fears. What happens? Like, nobody knows their medical history. Of course they do, because like, they live here, they're always here, but I'm just like, nobody's gonna fight the fight like I do. I'm sure they'll fight the fight. But at the end of the day, I think that's one of the biggest fears, risking my life or risking my family, like going over a bridge. But I'm like, dude, we have to do this to be able to travel. So how do I get over this fear? So what I've been doing more is like, when we travel, I'm more prepared. And then I try to distract myself when we're there, like not think about worst case scenario. And I'm usually fine, but when I'm on a plane and there's turbulence, yeah, valio, like I'm scared out of like nobody can see. Like I don't tell anybody but my husband. I'm just like, and he's like, calm down. Like we've done this a million times. You're fine, you know? And I'm like, you don't understand. And I hope you never get anxiety because it's not great.
Me and my husband get so scared when turbulence too, and like automatically we like hold each other's hands. Like we don't say anything, but automatically it's like we just like grab each other's hands and we're like holding on for dear life.
And
So
I'm
yeah,
like, I don't
he's
want to
in
scare my
the real
kids,
thing.
you know? And I don't want to be like, oh, my kids are so like, you know, I don't
Yeah,
know,
they're
not
fine.
really, but they know. And they're like, oh, it's just turbulence, guys. We'll be fine. And so I showed them this video that I saw online that helped me with my anxiety. It's like the turbulence is like there's air in between, so turbulence is very normal, and there's this can happen and this can happen, but like worst case scenario, that probability is super low, you know? It kind of eases my mind, and my kids are like, oh, I already saw that, and my little one is like, why are you scared? Like we saw that video, and I'm like, okay, it doesn't change my, I don't know, my brain's just upside down today. Sorry.
A fear that I've been kind of dealing with recently that's kind of unexpected too is, I think now that my daughter's 17 and she's, gonna be 18 in less than a year, even though my son is still 8, he'll be almost 9, I'm so scared of being an empty nester. And I think it's because my kids have been like my lifeline for so long. Like I just remember when my daughter was, I think, like 4, there was a time where I didn't work for like 6 or 7 months that I didn't work. And in that time, I was kind of like really depressed. And my daughter was like literally my lifeline. Like, I don't know what I would have done if my daughter wouldn't have been with me. Like, if I didn't have a child, I don't know what I would have done, because She was like the only way to get me out of bed. She was the only thing keeping me from staying sane. And it was just a really, really dark time in my life. So I think when, for a long time, my kids, both of them have, and I told them all the time, like, I need you guys more than you need me. And I'm not even joking. Now that my daughter is growing up, I'm like, what the heck am I gonna do with my life? Like, what's gonna be my purpose or my reason to like live? I don't know. And I've been trying to really talk about that a lot in therapy because it is kind of scary, to think who's gonna kind of keep me accountable and keep me showing up for myself every day, getting out of bed and doing what I have to do and things like that. But I think starting this podcast was like a big thing because I was like, well, I need to find something that's for me, like that I do for myself, that makes me happy. And then also reading books has been really helpful for me lately too, because I love to read books and it kind of keeps me, I don't know, like it gets me out of my life and into another life.
Else's life, right?
Yeah, somebody else's life for a little bit. And so I've kind of been thinking about that. I've been wanting to go like the silent book clubs and things like that. So I'm like, maybe, maybe when my kids are, I don't have to think about it so much as like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna not have a life. Like maybe I can start looking at it as like, it'll give me a chance to kind of start a new life.
Yeah, I
Like
feel like
kind of
it's the
start
next
living
chapter.
for, yeah, like a next chapter. Yeah, like I've been trying to look at it from that perspective instead of looking at it like, oh my God, my life's gonna be over. To kind of be like, okay, no, it's going to be a new chapter and you're going to find a new Myra,
You know what this reminds me of? We need to go to Shikangwam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, you talk
I
about all this stuff that you're talking about, and I'm like,
know.
this sounds like when kids are barely going into school or they're going off into something else and we have all this free time. It's not that we do have free time because,
Yeah.
we have a million things on our list
Things
to
to
do,
do.
but
Yeah.
it's like something that will be for us and that we can focus on. Maybe you have a new hobby or maybe you can focus on something else, but filling that time with something else because the kids will end up having to go independently and do their own things, and that I'm
Yeah.
not ready for that myself. So I don't
Yeah.
know, props to you, how you're dealing with it, because I can only imagine all the stuff that goes through your head. That's something that I've always told my therapist too. My kids are my pillar and they're the ones that keep me going. This is why I'm functional. Like, if I did not have kids, I'd probably be really, really depressed, and I don't know how the heck I would get out of it, because no matter how I feel, I always tell him, because he's like, oh, you don't sit in bed and just dwell and cry. And I'm like, I have no time to cry or
I
think,
have
or
no time. Yeah.
like, I can think. It's weird. I can go and do educational videos or train or work and do other things. My mind will go to a million places. But when I'm going to do things for my kids or I have the to-do list, I'm just like, whatever, hurry up, do it. And so I'm go, go, go. And I'm not thinking about anything. But if I were to not have my kids and not have those responsibilities, then maybe it would be a whole other picture. Like, I'd fall down rabbit holes left and right.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I remember when I first started therapy a long time ago when my daughter was little, the therapist would have me like draw pictures of a happy day or like a perfect day or something like that. And it would always be pictures with like me and my daughter. And it's like, and I say this all the time, it's not like, and I don't want to say like, oh, my kids are the best friends, because like, yeah, they're not supposed to be our friends. Like, I am their parent. But they're like the only thing that brings me joy, and like for the most part, like I don't work outside of my house, so I don't have conversations with grown-ups. Like I have conversations with my kids, it might be about, watching wrestling or something that my son wants to watch, but it's like they're the people that I have a conversation with every day and all day long. So it is kind of like they are my only friend, even though, they're not my
That's
friend,
such
but
a switch, though. Like, it kind of reminds me of when people are barely having kids and they're like, oh my God, I lost my friends. Oh my God. Like, the other way around, right? Like, you're going into parenthood and it's like, who controls the TV now? Like, it's whatever we both want to watch. It's not something that you want to watch. Like, soap operas when I was little, there's times where I can get my little girl to watch a novella with me, which is good, but those are the times that I enjoy and bond with her. But I feel like it's few and far between. So
Yeah.
I get you, girl. I get you, and I understand. Like, my kids are my best friends. I tell them that all the time.
Yeah,
And it's funny,
seriously.
and it's like, oh, you're my best friend today. And they're like, oh, no, actually, I have a best friend. His name is blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you can have multiple best friends. So
Yeah.
it's a whole other chapter, I feel like. And maybe you'll find another hobby, something that fills your
Yeah.
cup, or something else you want to do and make a bigger impact. Or maybe it's just the podcast and we make it grow. I don't know. There's a lot of different things. Just Don't, whenever you fall down rabbit holes or feel like something, just reach out. We'll make
Yeah.
something happen or go on a walk. Something.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah,
and I
we'll do
forgot to tell
something.
you, I went to a networking event last week, and Hispanic Chamber and the Latinas Emprendedoras, they're gonna start doing the workshops that we've been working on for a while, but I think they're gonna do like more frequent ones during the year, and then they start like a workout class with Latinas, just Latinas.
Oh.
So many different things going on, and
Yeah.
I was like, that sounds so amazing. Maybe I'll get out of and go into my fitness journey again. I
Yeah,
don't know. We'll
yeah.
see. Something that'll get me out of my comfort zone, you know?
Yeah, let me know. Maybe I'll go with you to,
Okay.
I could, yeah, as moral support, and then maybe we'll
And then
like
we'll work
it.
out together,
Yeah, and then
yeah.
we'll work out together.
Okay. So I just feel like looking for resources and out of the box, because sometimes we can get so into our problems or closed-minded. And thank God we have like therapists to talk to, because again, we do work from
Yeah.
home and we do only
Yeah.
talk to our kids. And it's not like we can fully be transparent with our kids when we have all these things going through our heads, you know? Because I always say, like, I don't want my kids to have the traumas that I have. So I
Yeah.
try to like not have them. Like, of course, I want them to know that you have emotions and you can deal with your emotions, sit through them, and it's good to take some time off. It's good to take naps. It's good to do all this stuff for your mental health. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want them to learn from this and like think it's normal. Not that it, I hate this word, sorry.
Yeah.
Think that it's
Yeah.
something that is supposed to happen. I mean, some people get anxious, and anxiety is actually just a feeling. My kid was telling me this the other day. I'm like, where did you learn this? He's like, anxiety is just an emotion. It's just a feeling. It's not real. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, the movie Inside
Inside
Out.
out? Inside out,
Yeah.
yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was like, where'd you watch that? Because I have not watched that. Like, I fall asleep in movies, so it's so hard for me to have them watch everything. And I'm like, where'd you watch that? He's like, at my uncle's house. I was like, oh. He's like, yeah. So anxiety tells this person about this, and then, you know, anger comes out, and then out of nowhere, like all the emotions go out the door because anxiety takes over, and then they're in prison. And then I was like, what? So spot on. I'm like, I need to watch the movie.
You need to watch that movie. Yeah, it's the second one, Inside Out 2, and they have this character anxiety, and yeah, what he just said, that's what happens, and it's so fascinating to me because it really paints a picture
Yeah.
of what anxiety feels like for a lot of people.
Because
But
I
yeah,
get
definitely
worried, you
watch it.
know? I'm like, I don't want them
Yeah.
to pick up on all this stuff. But he's like, it's normal. It's an emotion. And I'm like, what? I'm like, it's not normal. Like, how? He's like, you know how sometimes you're stressed out? I'm like, yeah, but it's part of being, like, it's part of life. Sometimes we get stressed out. And then he's
Yeah.
like, yeah, I understand. He's like, they talk about that at the in the movie. I was like,
Yeah.
oh, okay. I'm like, how is a 7-year-old telling me about my anxiety? But I was like, oh, okay, the movie's great.
Yeah. And this kind of leads us to like our second question where it's like, how do you manage fear when or things get overwhelming? And it's like sometimes you just have to do like really basic things like breathing. Something that has helped me, I don't remember what the exercise is, where you kind of center yourself or like you're you start seeing like, okay, or was it like something I can see, something I can taste, something I can touch, things like that has helped me too. Or just breathing. I don't know what it's called either, but it's like you breathe in once and then you kind of hold it, right? And then you breathe in like again and then you like let it out. And that helps like regulate your heart and that's helped me as well.
My kid tells me this too. I'm like, how do you know this? But I think they do talk a lot about it at school now that they're integrating social emotional
Yeah.
learning. So he's like, remember box breathing? I'm like, oh yeah. And then
Oh,
there's
box breathing, that's what it is.
something about your hand. Like you put your hand up, and then you when it goes up, you breathe out, and when it goes in, you breathe in. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds great. Sounds like tools I can need to take too. But
Yeah.
also for me, self-talk. I always talk to myself, and that's something that I also asked the therapist. I'm like, is that normal? Because like, I've heard talking to yourself is like una loca, right? Like people are
No, I
like,
talk
you're
to myself
crazy.
all the time. Yeah, I talk to
And
myself
I
all
was
the time.
like, that's normal. And then like after anxiety, I'm like, oh my God. Like in my head, just in my head, I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be thinking this, like just overthinking everything. And I'm like, you're fine. You're alive. You're grateful. And you have all this
Yeah.
stuff going on. So then it brings me back and it grounds me. But also like that exercise of the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like five things you're grateful for, four things you can see,
Yes.
a touch and things like that. And I'm like, I've never really had, I feel like in the panic attacks or in those moments, everything goes out the door for me sometimes. And then the way I calm down, my heart rate's like kind of settling back and I'm breathing for me is what really helps me in the moment. And so once I'm really chiming in, I'm like, okay, all right, let's calm down, recenter. You're fine. You've been through this. Tomorrow's another day. That's another thing that helps me. Tomorrow's another day. Like, so if I'm feeling like I'm gonna die right now and it's 8 p.m., I'm like, I already know. I'm just super tired and all this stress, and I'm my endless tasks on my brain, and I write things down to help me like alleviate what I have going on in my head and before going to bed. So I'm like, make sure nothing gets missed, and then I think about the other exercises, and then I can ground myself and I'm fine. I can relate to you on those methods of
Tips,
coping.
yeah, methods of coping. Yes, that's what it is. And do you think that fear ever goes away, or that you kind of just, it's like an everyday battle?
I honestly don't know. Like, when I was taking medicine, sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking in my head, like, oh, I've like just nailing down those moments of when I'm like, dude, I've been on med for this long and I still feel fear. Like, is this ever going away? Because my brain automatically thought, like, I'm going to take medicine so I will never, ever feel this again. Anxiety is a feeling. So it's normal and common for you to have feelings, right? Because you have to go and feel the emotions. And then there's times where I would take meds and I would feel numb because I feel like I wouldn't feel anything. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, I feel like a robot. So then I'm like, yeah, this is not. I don't know. I would talk to my psychologist and then she'd be like, she'd give me, tell me what to do next. So it's really helpful to have somebody to talk to, even if it's a doctor or I don't know. I still feel like there's a really big stigma on getting mental health. So I don't know if it goes away or
Yeah,
not.
I
That's,
don't.
I don't think I'm a very good testament on that. But what about you? Do you think it'll go
Yeah,
away?
same. I don't think so. I think it's something that we have to like face every day. I mean, I think that there's certain fears that you could probably, like, for example, I mean, I don't know. What if you, like, let's say you're afraid of heights, right? And then you go skydiving. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love this. Like, what was I afraid of? You know, I think those fears you can kind of overcome if you choose to. Or even my husband, for the longest time, wouldn't go on roller coasters. He was always afraid of roller coasters. And then when over Thanksgiving break, when we went to Disneyland, we were at California Adventures and he went on the Incredibles ride, which is like a really big roller coaster. You know what I'm talking about? And then he got off of it and he wanted to do it again. And he's like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, why was I afraid of this for so long? Those certain fears I think you can overcome and get over. But I think some fears you kind of have to just like deal with them every day. And there's kind of like a battle that you fight, kind of like addiction. You know, it's like a, if you're somebody that's like prone to addiction, it's like something that you fight every single day. So I think that that's kind of how a lot of fears are as well. You know, even just like the fear of never feeling like you're enough, right? It's like that's something every day you have to fight and be like, no, I am enough, you know, with kind of words of affirmation or trying to change the way you're thinking.
You took the words out of my mouth. I literally was going to tell you the word, the daily affirmations and really changing your mindset. So it's so hard to change your brain pathways. And for me, like I read a book and I've not gone past page 8, and I think I told you that long, maybe when we started the podcast. I still haven't touched it yet, but it talks a lot about those brain pathways and having to do consistent exercises that will rewire. So if I do daily affirmations for like a month and I concentrate to do that all the time, then it starts changing the way I see things. And that's something that I'm working on daily. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your husband's fear, but
Oh, no.
you literally brought me to my, like, the first time we ever went to anywhere, like Disney, anything was last year. And I think we're gonna do it again. But my kid, he couldn't go on a lot of the roller coasters because he was shorter, right? And so I was like, we were basically doing just the kiddie rides, right? And on the Incredicoaster, he was like, oh my God, I actually touch it. And I was like, okay, but I had no idea. Like, I went to Disneyland once when I was like 10 years old and never went again. Like, that's as far as I got, right? And so I had no idea what these roller coasters were or anything. So I saw the line and I was like, I don't even see, you can't even see the ride from where
You
you're at,
can't,
right?
yeah, really, yeah.
And
In
so
line,
my
you
kid
can't
was
see it.
like, he barely scraped it. And he was like, I was like, I don't know. And he's like, I want to go with you. So I sent my little girl with my husband to go sit down because she couldn't obviously go on it. And my husband doesn't do roller coasters either. So I didn't really force him to do any of the big ones. He just did one of the kiddie ones and he was fine. But my little, I think he was 6, or yeah, he was 7, yeah. He was 6 and he could barely scrape the thing. And he's like, okay, I want to go with you. I don't want to go sit with my dad. I want to go online. I'm like, okay. So we get on there and I didn't think of anything, right? And then I'm like, how am I going to do this? I have two kids. I wish I could. I thought there was going to be 3 seats because you don't know how many seats there is per ride until you're there, right? And so I was like, they kept dividing us. And I was like, no, I have two kids. I can't just let them go by themselves. Like, I'm scared. And then my oldest was like, Mom. And I'm like, honey, I'm sorry. Like, you're the oldest, but we'll find you somebody to come with you. Come with you. So there was a muchacha that went with him, and he was fine. And then my little, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go with him. So I would hold his hand, but I didn't even have a time to think about it. Like, literally, that Incredicoaster is like, I don't know, it's 5 seconds. I don't know what it was, but it seemed so fast that when I realized we were sitting there, like, we literally put the thing down and it went like this. And I was like trying to hold my kid's hand, and then he was like, I just screaming out of his life, out of his mind. And he was like, what is this? And starts crying, and I'm like, I'm trying to hold my head back. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I really hope nothing happens to him, because he like barely made it. And my whole time I'm like, I should have never let him get on here. But I'm like, I don't know, because I don't know what it's like until you're there, right? And it was scariest thing of his life. And this whole time he was crying. He's like, oh my God, I never want to get on here. So I'm like, so worried. I'm like, oh my God, what if he has like a panic attack or something, right? So then I'm like, okay, good thing it went by really quick. But then we get out and he's like, Mom, I did it. I was like, yeah, we're never doing that again.
You're like, never again. Oh,
But he keeps asking, he's like, when are we going back?
well, maybe he liked it. Maybe he wants to go again on that
Right?
one.
I know, but I was like scared for life. And I was like, I don't know what I did to myself after anxiety. Like, getting on anything is so scary. But I did it for them. Like, I don't know how I did it.
I don't do the Incredicoaster because I know, like, we go to Disney, if every other year. So it's like I know what the rides are now, but. Yeah, I mean, if you've never been, you probably wouldn't know like which one, what it does or which one it is, because you can see it, but you don't know from the line that that's the one it is. When you're like
Yeah.
walking, you see like down, yeah.
Oh,
So
but I
people would.
didn't go on that side. I went on the other side. Like, I was
Oh,
coming
okay.
from like the boardwalk. I don't know what it is.
Oh,
And then it
yeah.
comes
You were
down to
coming
like
from the
ice
back.
cream, and I didn't know. Like, I can't see anything. I'm like, I don't know if this is the right ride, because then there's another ride that goes under. And I was like, oh, I think it's the one that goes under. Like, we'll be fine.
Now.
Yeah.
So,
So
what's one fear you've had about motherhood that turned out to be totally unfounded?
trying to do everything correctly, or trying to do motherhood the right way, because there is no manual, right? I feel like I was always worried about other people's, what they had to say, or like if I was doing things right. But I was like, as long as I have my faith in God, and I know God brought me this blessing for a reason, and I'm very big on God. I know some people don't have that kind of belief, which is fine, and I respect everybody's belief. But you will never be able to please everybody, and I think it's the people pleasing in me, you know? But I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And it's a question that I always have sometimes. I'm like, I don't know if this is the right thing, but this is how I'm doing it. And we learn and we live. What about yourself?
Well, I think how when you're first child and you're like so scared whenever they get like sick or anything like that, like any little thing, I would be like freaking out. I would be taking my daughter to the emergency room. Like anything, if she had a little fever, whatever it was, I would be running to the emergency room. And now with like my son, I'm like, no, it's just a fever. Like he doesn't, if, as long as there's nothing else, like it doesn't last for several days, right? I mean, if it's happening for several days, there's probably an infection. You should go to the hospital, to the doctor. But like little things, like if they fall, like things like that, like I'm not so like, oh my gosh, like freaking out. Another thing that was kind of crazy, like you definitely are more prepared with your second child than you are with your first.
Yeah, I think it's a lived experience too. For me, it was fitting in the mom box at the beginning, like when I had my first kid. But it's like, there is no mom box. You are like, you're never gonna people please everyone, and you're a mom. And I feel like that never sunk in for me. From my first kid to my third kid, I'm just like, these are mine. But then, after a while, and now it's been almost 11 years with my oldest, and I'm like, all these responsibilities, that's what being a mother is. But not everybody has to do everything that I do. Maybe it's more common now, but with all the kids having different diagnoses and having to need more therapies and things of that nature. But it's just, for me, it was just like, this is my purpose, this is what I do. I never really saw it as it's motherhood, right? So it's just something that I dealt with as I went through things. And so I totally understand when you're saying your first kid gets sick and you run to the ER, because a lot of my siblings are that way too. But I was that one person, and my kid with developmental issues and disabilities, I was like, I don't know if this is normal. Like, what do I do? And when he had asthma, when he got diagnosed, I'm like, this is wrong. Like, you guys keep telling me he has pneumonia like every 3 months. How does he get so sick? Like, why is he always having these recurring pneumonias? And nobody here would tell me. He had allergies and he had all these different things until he got allergy tested when he was like 4 years. But in Mexico, when he was two, we got him tested and they gave me all this plan. Oh, he's allergic to all this stuff. We'll give you a treatment plan. Come. And I did like this, I think it was shots every other day for like 2 years. And then I put him on a diet. He couldn't eat nothing dairy, nothing soy. Everything in America has dairy, soy, nuts, everything he was allergic to. So it was the hardest thing in the world to do. And after we got off of that, he wouldn't eat anything because I restricted him from it, right? And he won't eat quesadillas, and that was his number one thing. The only thing he needs is protein, something he loves is meat. He'll do salads here and there, but he's a very picky eater. And I'm like, I don't know if this is like a food problem, but I think it has to do with, like, I've talked to the doctor and like, well, if he eats his grains and his food and everything he's supposed to be eating, I'm like, but he's a carb lover. And I can't blame him because I love carbs and all my kids love carbs, but it's so hard being a mother. Something some people don't talk about,
I know. Does motherhood makes fear harder or easier to navigate? Because I know for me, I feel like the world got 10 times scarier once I was a mom.
Yeah, right? 'Cause I feel like when we're living solo, when we're, solteras, or even when you're married but you don't have kids, it's like you do your schedule is however you want. Another fear that came with motherhood is like making sure they're okay and making sure that I'm okay so I can help them with whatever they need. And I feel like I put myself as like the primary resource for them, but I mean, I know they have the whole village,
Yeah, and same, like I said, the world became really scary for me once I had kids because even little things like I remember when I was a teenager and my mom was, or I thought she was being strict with me, right? Like she wouldn't let me do certain things or go to certain places. I would be like, oh, mom, when I'm a mom, I'm never gonna do this again. And she was just trying to protect me. You know, there are certain things my children can't do according to their age, and there are certain places they can't go. It does become a lot scarier, but my therapist always says the fact that you care so much, you know, the fact that you're being proactive all the time about wanting to be the best parent that you can be, like, that's all you can do. That's, you know, you're already ahead of the game because you're already aware of, okay, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to try to be the best mom that I can be.
Yeah, I agree. And reminding them too that if they ever go through any kind of anxiety feelings or going through mental breakdowns or things of that nature, like having resources and going through the good and the bad is always good. And therapy can help them improve the situation. But at the same time, like being at the right spot is very important. And that's something that I also like would get mad about when my parents or my siblings would be like, you can't go do this, you can't do that. I'm like, why? Like nothing happens when I'm around certain people. And they're like, no, but their lived experiences, they know what it's like. Sometimes there was times where I wanted to rebel, but I'm like, no, they're doing this for my own good, And I feel like my kids are like that sometimes. So because we have diabetes that does run in our family, and we do have other like cardiovascular things that go through our bloodline, I'm always like checking their, blood work and doing things. And they're like, why do you worry so much about carbs? And why do you worry about all this stuff? I'm like, because both of your, like, even on my husband's side, it's the same thing. And I'm like, I just want to be more careful. And because right now, all the food here is not the greatest, and there's chemicals and things of that nature in all of our food. And no matter how organic you want to be, like, you don't know what's behind the food unless you really source it out yourself. So it's a hard world being a mother, but I mean, just trying to do the best as we can. At the same time, it's important for them to also live through things. Like, really, I don't know, picking and choosing, like, what you allow, And as you're saying, according to their age and according to what they really can tolerate. So I understand, and I feel like that's just how I work too. So what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received about overcoming fear and motherhood?
The one that I just said, like what my therapist said, you know, because for the longest time I still tell her this all the time. I'm like, I just don't want my kids to end up like me, right? I don't want them to be so traumatized. I don't want them to. Like the things about myself that I don't like, right? Like I'm always like I'm an anxious person. I let fear control my life. I, you know, I'm always thinking I'm not good enough. You know, so I'm always telling her, my therapist, like I just don't want my kids to be like me. I don't want my kids to be like me. Like I want to hurt them the least amount possible, right? Because I know that there's gonna be things that I'm going to hurt them. They're gonna probably need to go to therapy. You know, like there's things I can't control, but. You know, she would always tell me, like, Myra, like, the fact that you care is all, you know, there's a lot of parents out there that don't care. Like, they're not thinking about these things. Like, they're just living their life and thinking, oh, this, you know, como salga, salga, you know, whatever happens, happens. So it's like the fact that you care and you're trying to do better every day, like your kids are going to be fine. You know, that you're already ahead of the game. So that's probably the best advice that I've gotten, because it has allowed me to kind of like don't not put so much weight on myself.
I agree. You know, one day at a time, and we're doing our best, and we can only do what we can control, and trying to remind ourselves that, because sometimes things are easier said than done. So it's a lot of that and self-talk and reminding you that this isn't the worst thing that can be happening. Other people have it worse, and you're not alone. Like, a lot of people don't talk about certain struggles in motherhood, but it's all part of the process.
Yeah, what about you? What's been the best advice that you've received?
I think it's that you can control only certain things and try not to worry. Because, I mean, a mother's always going to worry, right? Like I'm saying, like, even when I go to bed, I'm like, I can't fully be in a deep sleep because my mind will be like, oh, I'll wake up all paranoid. Like, is my kid fine? Is the house on fire? Like, I don't know. So, I'm always worried about, like, is the stove on? Did somebody leave something on and that I needed to make sure the door's locked? Did somebody come in here? Like, it's just a million things. In the moments, I'm just like talking to myself and trying to bring me back. Because, I mean, you can only go down rabbit holes like real quick, and it's easy to fall down in the negative. So I'm just like, no, look at it from another light and just give it time, and time will tell, and we can only learn. That's how it is, you know, we live and we learn, so.
Another thing that we wanted to do today was a fun this or that fear edition, right? So the first one was public speaking or skydiving. For me, what would I prefer? Definitely public speaking, because I'm not jumping off an airplane.
That's what I was thinking about when I was doing these and working through the agenda. But I'm like, I don't know, maybe because you said, you know, your husband tried that roller coaster and he loved it. I'm like, what if I love it? You know, like the doubt in me, I'm just like, at this point, I don't know. But I think if I was going through an anxious time, I'd probably do public speaking. My doctor gave me propranolol medication because I would go through meetings and things with people that would make me really, really anxious or feel like I was like a spotlight.
No, I'm definitely doing public speaking. People might not learn anything that day, but that's fine. I'll just talk about whatever, the weather, you know?
Yeah.
In front of fear of failure or rejection.
Oh God, that is hard. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the fear of failure, because it's the people pleasing in me and wanting to be accepted or loved, but at the same time, I'm just like, no soy monedita de oro, no los voy a caer todos, you know, bien. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I think I would do the fear of failure as well, because I've always tried to be so perfect in everything that I do that it might, you know, I don't know, like it might be good to fail at something, because then it's like it's not, you know, like I'm not here to be perfect. Like there is room to grow and I can learn from things. Fight a fear of heights or fear the dark? Fear of the dark.
I think I would do fear of the dark, because fear of heights, I do it when I go on the airplane, I still do it, but I just get panic attacks. So I feel like fear of the dark, I'll find a flashlight, I'll find somewhere, some way to see. I don't know. I honestly, if I was stuck in the middle of a jungle, I would freak out and have a panic attack as well. But let's not talk about that right now.
I think, I mean, maybe fear of heights, as long as I don't have to jump. You know, like
Okay,
if I could
yeah.
just be like you said, like on a plane or on a really high building, and I can, you know, I'm just gonna look down, but I don't have to jump. I think I could, I would choose that one, the fear of heights. What about teach your kids to face their fears with tough love or with gentle guidance?
I think the gentle guidance for the fear because of anxiety, but before anxiety, I don't know. I feel like my grandma would always tell me, tough love, you know? Amor Apache. And I'm like, I'm like, aquí no soy, yo no soy Apache, but, you know?
For me, it depends what child I'm dealing with. You know, if I'm dealing with my daughter, we can do the gentle parenting. If we're dealing with my son, I have probably tough love,
Yeah.
because he's not going to listen to anything I say. He has
Because
too
he
many
wraps
rules.
his finger around you, huh?
Oh, and because he has to learn things on his own. You know,
Yeah.
like he has to go experience things. And like the other day, he was like running, and I kept telling him, "Stop running, stop running, stop running." And he wouldn't stop running, and he fell and he hurt himself. And then it was like, he's like, "Yeah, Mom, I probably shouldn't have been."
I should have listened,
I want to say I told you so, but yeah.
huh? Yeah, I
Fear
understand.
of speaking in front of 100, I guess that one kind of we already talked about. Speaking in front of 100 people or singing karaoke solo.
Singing karaoke solo.
Yeah, same.
Because of music, that's why.
Same. Perfectly organized house or perfectly behaved kids?
Perfectly behaved kids.
Yeah.
100%.
Same, 100%. I want to have perfectly behaved kids. Be the fun mom or the disciplined mom?
Ah, that's the hard one. I'm just like, I want to be fun, but also if I'm fun and the kids are all over the place, I don't know how good that will be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one too. I want to be the, can we be in the middle? I want to be
That's
the
what I
fun
was
mom and
gonna
the disciplined mom.
say. Yeah.
But I'm like, my husband's already the fun dad, so I gotta be the disciplined mom. You know, like somebody has to keep these kids on track.
Right? Yes, that's exactly how it
Yes.
works.
What about helicopter parent or free range parenting?
I think helicopter just because everything worries me.
Same. Yeah, I'm definitely. As much as I hate to admit it, and I wish I wasn't, I'm definitely a helicopter parent. Like, I try so hard to control everything, even though I know I can't.
Yep.
But I try. Yep.
It is hard.
Kids' choice dinner every night or only eat what they leave behind?
I have to end up eating what they ate behind anyway, so I'll do that.
I wouldn't mind being the kids' choices dinner every night because they'll choose really easy stuff. They'll want me to make like mac and cheese every night, and I'd be down for that. You know, quesadillas or sandwiches. Like my kids are really simple,
Yeah.
so I tell them all the time, I cook for my husband, I don't cook for my kids because my kids are so easy to please when it comes to dinner, and they're always so thankful. And they're like, "Thank you, Mom." And my husband's a picky one, so he's the one that I have to do like a three-course meal for, you know?
Yeah. I know. My husband was very lucky in that manner that my soda would, make him everything and anything he wanted for lunch and snacks. And I was like, dude, I wish I had that free time to do it. I just don't have the time to do it. So, I mean, when it comes to dinner and you're lucky and I have time, then I'll do it. But otherwise, it is what it is, and whatever we can make. And if he gets home earlier and he has the time to do it, he'll make something quick, and we divide and conquer here because it's hard.
Yeah, for sure. So lastly, we have some listener questions. We recently put up some Q&A questions on our Instagram page. If you haven't followed the page, please do at Let's Do It Afraid Podcast. And the first question was how, and I thought about this for a long time, and I still don't even know what I'm going to respond. So maybe you'll have a good answer. But it was, how do you know if it's true love and that that is your person?
I don't know. I always have my faith in God, and I'm like, God, listen, yeah. I don't know if you knew, but when I met my husband, like I had dated him when I was 15 for like a brief period, and then I came back, and then I like forgot about it. I was just like, that can't be real. It's long distance, And then I went frequently. I went like at least every year, or 2 times a year, and I would see him randomly, and he would message me, and I'm like, oh, hi, like. I don't think if this is gonna go anywhere. You just never know, right? But then I think it was when I turned 20 or 18. I don't remember. I saw him various times, and like he'd bring me roses or bring me like stuffed animals at the plaza or flowers, and I was just like, this guy just wants to talk to me. But I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then later on in life, I went with my mom and my cousins and like a lot of family for summer, and I went for a longer period, and then we talked, and then the next. I think it was December, we hung out again, and then I was like, maybe this can be real, maybe I gave him the benefit of the doubt. We did date, and then things just went off from there. But I was just like, if this has been frequent and it just keeps coming back to me, then I guess that's true love, right? What about for
Yeah, no,
you?
it was. I mean, I thought about it and I was like, I'm definitely not the one to give a lot of love advice. It's not my area of expertise. As older that I get, I realize like love is a choice and you choose to love this person every day. I don't believe in like soulmates or like this is my person. I don't really believe in that anymore. I did when I was younger, but I don't think that one person can meet all our requirements or all our needs. Like that's a lot of pressure to put on one person. They're gonna change and they're gonna grow and they're not perfect. And one thing that you loved about them today, you may hate tomorrow. So it's like love is a choice. You have to either continue to love them even though they have faults or not. Like, can you live with those faults or not live with those faults? But I guess like how do you know it's true love? Ask yourself the hard questions. Like, are you, if this person gets sick and you have to provide for them, like, are you willing to do that? Like, are you willing to be with them in the good and the bad and in moments of, heartbreak and things like that? Like, are you going to continue to love them? Because at the end of the day, like I said, love is a choice. And don't base it on like how they make you feel. I used to always say that, like, oh, I love how he makes me feel. But it's like, it's a lot of pressure, like I said, to put on one person, and you're basing your love for them on a feeling, and feelings change.
Yeah.
Don't base it on feeling, like, really base it on why do you love this person, but not how they make you feel, but like, why do you love this person? Do you love them because they're honest? Are they loyal? Are they kind to others? Does he love God if that's important for you, or does she love God if that's important for you? Things like that. Like, why? Ask yourself the really hard questions. Like, why do I love this person? And can I continue to love this person as they grow, change, and evolve? Because we're not going to stay the same people at
Yeah,
all.
I agree. People change all the time and they evolve, and so do you. So it's like what you want right now may not be what you want in 10 years. But at the same time, it just depends on how you view life and what your priorities are and what your values are. Because at the end of the day, I feel like right now with a lot of people have lost their like moral values or their foundation values. But like, a lot of people go through a hardship and they rather just escape instead of dealing with their trauma or dealing with what they're coming with. Sometimes that will be you. You won't ever be perfect either. It is a lot of pressure to put on one person or put on yourself. You can choose to love that person, as you're saying. True love isn't going to be like the novela love, because that's not real. It has its uglies and it has its good moments. It's never going to be 100% happy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then another question that we got, this was kind of like a Q&A box that we put. They could ask us anything, right? Anything and everything. How do you encourage your kids to face their fears?
I just tell them you don't know what it is until you're there. Even with their food, sometimes they don't want to get out of what they commonly eat or what they commonly do. And I'm like, guys, remember, like, it's not until you taste it or you experience it that you know what you like. And then my middle's always like the curious one. He's like, oh, I don't like this kind of food, but maybe you'll like the next food, or maybe it tastes different today. Maybe it's not gonna be like the same. Like mac and cheese, it's always a hit or miss. Like it's they're gonna love the Kraft mac and cheese taste to it, or they're gonna just it, if it's a lot more like less flavorful, they're like, I don't like this. It just depends on how it's really made. But I'm just like, you gotta try it, and until you try it, you won't know.
Yeah, for
What about for
sure.
you?
Same. I mean, I just kind of like, my daughter, she'll right now she's kind of like thinking about like what colleges she wants to go to, kind of testing like how far away from us she wants to be, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of encouraging her like just apply everywhere, just if you end up, and remember, I'm like, you can always come home, right? So it's like, if you decide that you want to go to school in Pennsylvania and then you absolutely hate being in Pennsylvania and you want to come back, like, you can always come back. So I kind of just encourage them to kind of the same thing you said. It's just like, you won't know until you're there, and go for it. And we're your safety net, so we'll always be here to catch you if you need the help,
Yes, I agree.
So what's something you wish someone had told you about motherhood that no one did?
Fitting the mom box, it's like there's no one box. It is what you're dealt with, and I just dealt with what I got. Each kid is different, right? My oldest had developmental needs since he was little and since he was in my tummy, so it was something that I knew I had to do. But at the same time, I was prepared for it because I was a caregiver back the beginning of my career. So I have the experience and I know like what to ask for, and I feel like I'm a really good advocate in those aspects of things. So I feel like I was really prepared. God prepared me for these type of things. It's interesting how life plays out sometimes. But at the same time, just you're never gonna meet everybody's expectations. So just doing what works for you, I think, is something that really sticks with me.
I think something that no one told me is that with each child, you kind of have to find a different way to parent them. I don't know, like, I always thought, I'm gonna be the same mom with all my kids. I'm gonna treat them the same way. They're gonna have the same rules. But being a mom of two, I realize that that's not possible. Like, things that worked with my daughter absolutely do not work with my son. Rules that I had to have with my daughter, I don't have with my son. And that's also because I changed, right? Like, some things that I did with her didn't, I realized, like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to do this again. So I've changed the way I do it with my son. But honestly, like, you do have to find a way to love them differently, show up for them differently, and be a totally different mom for each one because each child is so different. And, the way my daughter feels loved by me is not the same way that my son feels loved by me. So it's like kind of like what we talked about, where it was like the love languages, right? Like
Yeah.
you have to really know the love language for each of your children and try as best to implement them. So yeah, nobody told me that, but that's definitely something I've learned about being a mom.
Yeah, and then also like when you're trying to teach them things, I think their way of learning is different. So like I have a kinesthetic learner, I have a visual learner, and I have an audio learner. So it's like how do you use the same curriculum for all three kids? And it's kind of like the same thing with school. Like how do they just do one scenario for all the kids? Not everyone's gonna learn the same. So it's like it can be chaotic, you know? And for me, I learned that during COVID. I only had my oldest in school during that time. Thank God I didn't have more homework because I'm like, when they grow, I don't know how I'm gonna do homework because hopefully my oldest is able to do it and so is my middle. But at the same time, like what you're saying, I had an aunt that would challenge my mom sometimes on the way she parented different kids. And it's like, I would tell my mom too, like, you're so easier on the youngest than you were with me, but then I'm a girl, so it's totally different. The society, the culture, everything is just totally different. And then at the same time, like, millennial era, so much liberty, so much mental health, so many different things. I'm like, that didn't exist back then. Like, how do they get just free passes, you know? And I'm like, it's not free passes, but at the same time, like you do need a mental health break and you need this kind of thing. So it's like you brought me to when my mom, my aunt and my aunt, mom were having like an argument about how my mom was parenting. And then my mom's like, you only have one kid. Like you have no idea. Like you parented a long time ago. Your kid's an adult now. You have no idea what's going on right now. It's interesting to see, you know, but then again, it just all depends on the kind of kid that you have and the way that they need to be parented because not one size fits all here, you know?
And just like, and also because, like I said, like you change as a parent. I remember with my daughter, like she tells me this all the time, like that I didn't let her go out and play outside by herself. Like if she was gonna play outside, I had to be right there, right next to her. And I don't do that as much with my son. I mean, I'm watching him, but like the window, I do let him go outside and play a little bit more. Number one, because he has so much freaking energy and he drives me insane if he's in the house all day. But also because I learned that with my daughter, like that wasn't the best decision. Like I wasn't serving her by keeping her always so close to me. I was doing her a disservice. So I'm like, I saw that and I changed and I was like, I don't like that. I'm not gonna do that with my son. So I implemented a new rule and and that's fair because I tell her all the time, like I was 21 when I had you. Like I'm not the same parent. I'm not the same Myra that I was at 29 when I had my son. Like I was a completely different person. So like I do tell her, have some grace for me. Like I'm not the same mom. Like you should be happy that I learned and I grew and I changed that for your brother,
Yeah. Do you think it had anything to do with like her being a girl and him being a boy, or?
I'm just as paranoid when it comes to like safety. I know that boys face a lot of the dangers that girls face as well. So no, I don't think it would have made a difference. I think it was just the fact that she was the first child and I didn't know any different,
Yeah.
because like even with my son, like I'm still watching him through the window, but it's like I give him a little, I'm a little bit farther away with like with my daughter, I had to be like right next to her, like we
Yeah.
would play together,
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Yeah, you live and you learn and each kid is going to be a little bit more different.
Yeah, for sure. Last question. What's a funny or memorable mom fail moment you've had in general or while trying to overcome a fear?
Oh my God, I don't know. You want to go first?
I don't know either. I'm like, that's a, yeah, what's a funny, memorable mom fail moment you've had? Gosh, I don't even know. I don't think, and it doesn't, I don't mean, I don't, that's why I said like in general, because I can't even think of a time where I was trying to overcome a fear, But just like being a mom in general, I mean, you're gonna make so many mistakes, right? Like there's so many mom fails. Like I said, that thing with my daughter, not letting, kind of coddling her all the time, right? Where it's like my
Yeah.
son, I've tried to give him a little bit more independence.
Yeah. I feel like the same, but I don't know if it's funny at this point, but sometimes I do laugh at myself. When I would go to Mexico and I'm a helicopter mom, so because my kid had all those allergies and things, I'm just like, I don't trust my kid with everyone, like to just take care of him and leave. I would always have to be in the perimeter because I'm like, he has allergies to certain things. I would need his EpiPen, and I don't share that with everyone. I don't want to tell everybody, hey, my kid, but I mean, it's probably something that I should have shared, but I'm like, people in Mexico don't think that certain health conditions are critical, or they have no idea. They're oblivious to certain things, and I'm like, they don't know how to react in those situations. And I'm like, I don't trust my kid with just anyone. So the only person that I would ever leave my kids with was my mom, but my mom knew everything he needed, you know? And so one time I did go out, and I had family helping me take care of him while I went to the plaza for a night with my husband. Then when I came home, they were gone. I was like, where's my kid? Like, what the heck happened? Well, they took it upon themselves to leave and go take him on a stroll and then go to their parents' house. And then I was like, oh my God. So I went, I was like, where the heck are they? And my husband's like, chill, like, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's not fine. Like, what if he has a freaking allergic reaction? Or what if he needs something and they feed him something he's not supposed to be eating? Like, I'm scared, you know? And so then I went to go find them, and they, he was fine. He was happy. He was great. But I was like, my mind went through, you know, the worst case scenario, like, oh, what if something happened to my kid, or what if he needs something? But thank God he was fine. But so that's why I laugh at myself sometimes. But I'm like, I just wish people would consult you, right? Because you're the mom here. But
Again, we want to encourage everyone that fear is not the enemy. It's a signal that you're growing, and together we can overcome it. And it's not something that you ever really, I don't know, I don't think most of our fears go away, but I definitely think that there's something we can learn from them. Hopefully you have people that you can overcome those fears with together, or even just talk to them. Because we had somebody reach out and tell us this one time that, like, if you say your fears out loud, you kind of realize how silly they are, or how, you know, they're not as scary as we make them out to be in our heads.
yeah, I heard somebody tell me that on Friday. They're like, oh, I have these crazy thoughts in the middle of the night. Sometimes they're worries, sometimes they're just things. And so I sit there and I write it to myself, or I voice text it to my notes, and then I listen to it, and I'm like, that sounds so dumb. I gotta delete this.
Or even one of our listeners too kind of said that a like fear, FEAR, like the acronym would be like false information appearing real, right?
Oh my God, that's
Or
so weird.
false evidence appearing real. Yeah, and that kind of like really stuck with me, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, it is a lot of times our own, like, they're just things we're making up in our head, right? But they haven't actually happened. So that really stuck with me too. One of our listeners private messages that. So we do really encourage you guys to reach out. We do read those messages. We personally read all of those messages that you guys send us through DMs. And we really appreciate the ones that took the time to answer all the Q&A boxes that we had been kind of putting up for the last several weeks. We do really, really appreciate those questions. And like we, you know, as you can see, we do try our best to answer them. And so we encourage you to keep sending your questions, keep sending us messages, DMs, or commenting on anything. We would really like to get some feedback on the kind of content that you guys would like us to put out there, or certain topics that you want us to talk about, or even certain people that you would think would be really cool to interview. We do have a lot of cool interviews coming up, and we're gonna, you know, continue to do that, but we would. Or even, we would even like to know, like, do you guys like our solo episodes more? Do you like when we have guests on more? Like, please send us your feedback, because we would really appreciate it.
I agree. And anything you guys really want to talk about, or anything that is irking your nerves or your fears right now at this moment. I know a lot of people are going through fear with the new presidency coming in, and a lot of people don't know where to go or what resources they have out there. So that's something that we can talk about. I know I've been hearing that in the community. I haven't been hearing it on the podcast very much, but not sure how many people can relate. So if there's anything that's really like a hot topic, or anything that's on your mind that you need help with, you can even send us a DM. We can send you to resources or things that can help you in those moments. Otherwise, thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys on the next episode. We'll see you guys next time, Fear Busters. Bye bye.
Bye.